your friends in Christ. As you've been reminded multiple times this weekend, tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day that has kind of an interesting history. It came out of a group of people who wanted to decorate the graves of Civil War, of those who had perished in the Civil War. And it actually kind of began simultaneously in the North and in the South within a couple of years of the end of the Civil War. Originally, it was called Decoration Day, and Memorial Day as a name for the holiday didn't really pick up until after World War II. It wasn't officially designated as a U.S. holiday until about 1967. Over the years, I think our culture has, to a great extent, kind of lost the major emphasis of Memorial Day. Now Memorial Day is more celebrated as the unofficial beginning of summer. It's a time for grilling out and to get away on that first three-day weekend. When I grew up, where I grew up, it was a day when you spent several hours watching cars turn left, okay? Until they actually moved the Indianapolis 500 to Sunday. So now when you go home, you can watch all those cars turn left. So much for somber reflections of brave soldiers who gave their all in defense of the nation. The origins of Easter may seem a little bit far away today also. I mean, the smells of Easter lilies and the Easter breakfast have largely dissipated from the church. The sound of brass and trumpet have disappeared. There's still light upon the altar, but the large numbers of people that were here on that day have dropped back to their usual number, and life, it seems, has already turned the corner. Easter is over, and we're all looking forward and getting ready for summer. But is that really true? Is Easter really over? Is it possible that the effects of Easter have come and gone? No, not today. For God's word reminds us of the transforming power of the resurrection, of the power of that gospel message to change the lives and the hearts of people. And today we see it in the story of a woman by the name of Lydia. It's about 20 years after the first Easter Sunday. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He had wanted to continue in Asia, planting churches. It's what he had done on his previous journeys. But now he receives a vision from the Holy Spirit directing him to go over the ocean to Macedonia. Luke now joins Paul and Timothy and Silas as they travel into Europe, into modern-day Greece. And Paul meets a woman by the name of Lydia. On the Sabbath day, Luke says, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. Well, what do we learn here? Well, first of all, there wasn't much of a Jewish population in the city of Philippi. It was settled largely by retired Roman soldiers. It was well known in those days as one of the leading cities in the nation-state of Macedonia. But there aren't very many Jewish people there. There's not even a minyan. 10 men who would be necessary in order to have a synagogue service. As you might remember, Paul's practice on his journeys was to go to the synagogues and there to teach from the Hebrew scriptures about how Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one, and he would stay in the synagogue until he got tossed out. But this city has no synagogue. We meet Lydia. And we learn that Lydia was from the city of Thyatira, a small city in Asia Minor. It was a commercial center, and it was known for its rich crops and for its production of purple dye. Logically enough, then, Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. Purple was a rare color in those days. Purple cloth was very costly, and it was purchased primarily by the very wealthy and those of the noble classes. And so these clues suggest that Lydia was probably a businesswoman of some wealth. But even more significantly for our purposes, the text also says that Lydia was a worshiper of God, a God-fearer. A worshiper of God is a term that Luke often uses as a sign for Gentiles who believe in the Jewish God, Yahweh. However, even though they believe in the Jewish God, they don't yet believe in Christ. And as we continue, Luke tells us the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, we don't know what Paul said. We don't have his sermon here recorded, but certainly he shared the message of Easter, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it would most likely include what we call the creed now, what at that time was probably known as the rule of faith. It would be the message that Jesus had come into our world as God in the flesh, and that Jesus had died for Lydia and for all nations. And then the resurrection of Jesus, stamping God's approval on that sacrifice and giving eternal life to all who believe and trust in Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're told that Lydia paid attention. She heard, and her heart was opened, and she received the message that Paul was bringing. But that's not all. Notice she didn't waste any time getting baptized with all the rest of her household. It was a sign that the gospel was taking root in this new place. In Lydia's baptism, she received faith. She was united in Christ's death and resurrection. Salvation was given to her. But it didn't stop there, because this newfound faith produced fruit. She begged Paul to allow her to host the missionaries in her own home. If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And Luke says she prevailed upon us. Her new faith simply would not allow her to not express it in works of kindness. And later on, we see Paul returning to stay with Lydia, who is obviously now an active member of the congregation that has been planted there. What we see in Lydia is just how powerful the message of Easter is. It brings life. It brings salvation. We see the signs. We see an open heart that hears the word and receives the gifts of word and baptism to create faith. Then we see evidence of that faith expressed in good works, a hospitality that she offers to Paul and his companions. God calls. God opens heart. And God creates faith. And then God empowers for service. This is the message of Easter. That God is working through the power of His Holy Spirit to transform the lives of people in our world. As Luther remarked about the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Lydia was an active demonstration of the miracle of God's love. Proof positive that the effects of Easter linger long beyond that resurrection appearance in the empty tomb. But let's not just stop with Lydia, because you also are a product of the gospel, a sign of God's life, evidence that Easter continues on, living in hearts and voices, even up to this day. Perhaps right now, though, you don't feel much like a sign, living evidence. Maybe the effects of Easter left you long ago. This is nothing less than the work of the devil himself, for he aims to steal your victory and to lead you to despair. If possible, his goal is to turn your eyes away from the empty tomb and turn them inward to yourself and to all of your worldly troubles. There are still bills to be paid. There are still doctor's appointments to go to. Our families aren't perfect, and there's sin and brokenness that surrounds us in our lives. But all of this pales in comparison to the victory that is ours in Christ. My peace I give to you, Jesus says. It is not like the world's peace. And in his revelation, John sees a new Jerusalem blazing with the light and the glory of Jesus Christ. A place there where there is no more mourning or crying or pain, because all of the old order of things has been swept away. Thanks be to our God. He's patient and he's merciful. Christ died and rose for you. God prepares hearts through the proclamation of his word. And we confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness. We hear God's word, and the Holy Spirit works through this word to strengthen and sustain our faith. It happens each and every time we encounter God's word. It happens each and every time we gather for worship, despite Satan's attempt to mislead and distract us. But God is still working. He's still working through the power of his word and through his word in the sacraments. Like Lydia, our hearts are opened, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith is created and strengthened anew. And then, like Lydia, faith produces fruit, hands that serve, voices that proclaim, arms that comfort and provide, and legs that take us where we need to be. The gospel of Christ crucified and risen has this effect. The victory of the empty tomb lives on and on. There is no way to silence the effect of Easter. It goes on because Jesus lives, and because he lives, we live also. And we will not forget. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Let us now worship our risen Lord and Savior through the giving of our tithes.